agenda is item number 8, Robert Ruggiero, 082149. Badger.
Robert Ruggiero requests authorization to install a 160-foot long concrete block riprap, concrete block located adjacent to his property along Kokomo Sang at 8475 East Lane in the town of Saxes, Atma County. Coastal Commerce sand dune and beach permit is required, and the project is here because the county of Atma has not yet adopted the Coastal Commerce sand dune and beach ordinance. It's a quad sheet showing the town of Saxes, Kokomo Sang, 5 of the Eastern Shore, US 1329. Maryland, Virginia line is approximately 1.75 miles northwest of the town of Saxes, and the reach across both Mount Sinai to Maryland is a little less than 5 miles to the northwest. Needless to say, there's fairly severe erosion along the shoreline. A little closer view, plot sheet, Starling Creek, town of Saxes, project channel is right here, and just to the north and adjacent to the projects that's before you today, where the arrow is the Saxes Island placement spoil site. 2007 aerial, and the arrow marks the spot, and you can see the spoil site here. The reach along Saxes is approximately 9,000 feet, and it's exposed to the northwest. A closer view showing the spoil site, house, and the septic tank is in this general area. The house is approximately 92 feet from the intertidal area, and the septic system is probably the same level. Some aerial that we took back in January of this year. The arrow marks the spot. Town of Saxes and Starling Creek is bulkheaded all the way around the marina, all the way around until you get just on the northwest side of the tank fishing pier. And then there's 900 feet of concrete riprap that is adjacent to and southwest of the project that's in front of you today. Again, and then from there all the way around, there's no armament whatsoever. As you can see here, the berm from the placement site is eroding away fairly severely. And the town will have to do something about that, or they'll lose their placement site. In 1999, a shoreline management plan for the town of Saxes was published by BIMS, and the goal of the study was to identify the best course of action to manage the shoreline erosion in Saxes and to provide a detailed management plan which could be presented to potential federal and state agencies for funding. Unfortunately, to date, this has not happened. The plan basically was to consist of a series of offshore breakwaters, beach nourishment, and vegetated gardens. The arrow marks the approximate location of Mr. Argerio's project. Right here are the two outfalls from the spoil site. As you can see, it's consisting of a series of breakwaters with nourishment behind it. It's an aerial just showing looking towards the southwest. It should be mentioned that this house was probably built in the last 5 years. A little closer view. The interesting part of this picture is the relic marshes that are in this general area. You can see the different heights of the relic marshes that were eroded away that used to be behind the dune beach from the beach area and now are exposed. Jim's, Karen Dering, and myself spent probably 2 hours on this project just trying to identify the jurisdictional area. And after about 2 hours, we came to the conclusion that the green line is the upper limits of the jurisdictional beach, and that these relic substrate marshes that are here are still going to be considered a beach, not vegetated wetlands. So that's your upper limits right here. And the dotted red line is the applicant's proposed location of the bulkhead. This has indicated that a shoreline protection structure appears justified in this case. The erosion rate here is a little less than 4 feet historically a year. It's probably more than that now. The applicant's house and drain fields are at risk and bulkhead. In this location, it's not advised for a high energy environment such as this. And an offshore breakwater system, which was recommended in 1999 by them, would not be appropriate for a single individual lot owner to address. This is the original drawing that was submitted. You see the block wall from one end of the property to the other. The interesting part here is you can see the 92 feet that was from the house out. And I've got other drawings that will show this alignment we pulled from the house to set this up. We asked for additional information, and it shows the mean high watermark going right through the block wall itself. When we got the revised drawing showing additional information, the distance is the same to the block wall, but he's moved the high watermark channeled by 5 feet of the wall. We still believe that the high water mark is back here, and one of the drawings that I've made will show that. Cross section. This wall will be made up of 2 foot by 2 foot by 6 foot interlocking blocks. One of the blocks will be buried, and the other two will be exposed and backfilled. The amount of jurisdictional beach intertidal area that would be filled, according to them, would be a little less than 3,000 square feet. This is the location of the proposed block bulkhead. For a closer view. And green marks the jurisdictional area of the beach, the upper limits. And this is the proposed bulkhead line. You can see the house is relatively close. From here to here, 92 feet.
From the red line?
Yes, 92 feet from the proposed bulkhead to the ends of the home. This, which I'll show you some other drawings. I'll show this distance here too. Again, showing the bulkhead looking to the southwest. This area from here all the way down to town of Saxes is a concrete riprap. And looking north, and this is the berm, the replacement site of town of Saxes. One of the problems that Bims has with putting a bulkhead out here is going to speed up the erosion, if that's possible, on the adjacent property. These are my drawings depicting what we find in the field. The jurisdictional beach line is in green, and it's 62 feet from the western corner of the house and 75 feet from the eastern corner of the house. Blue is the mean high water mark, and you can see the proposed bulkhead in relationship to it in the low water. The concrete riprap is in this general area here. I'm going to leave this up, but the purple shows what we'll eventually recommend as the toe alignment for some riprap that we're proposing. I'll just leave that there. Vim states that if armoring was considered necessary, that a stone revetment is recommending a little bulkhead, and that the construction should be located landward of the beach features possible, which would mean pointed it back here to the beach. Green line there. The marked change in the landform of this alignment Includes the edge of the upland fill by 60 feet shallower from the highest of the west end, and the and upland scarp 75 feet shallower from the highest of the east end near the dredged soil site. By doing this, it would allow the existing reed grass and other beach vegetations to grow naturally and should provide additional stabilization that you saw in those photographs that are those relic marshes that are in here. Again, 60 feet. And we have we don't have any opposition, and no state agency has opposed the project. Summary and recommendation. Section 28.2.1401B of the Code of Virginia provides that the commission shall preserve, protect coastal primary sandings and beaches and prevent their destruction. Whenever practical, the commission shall accommodate necessary economic development in a manner consistent with the protection of these features. In addition, as stipulated in 28.2.1408 of the Code of Virginia and amplified by the Coastal Primary Sanding and Beach Guidelines, Section 4, no permanent alteration of or construction upon any coastal primary sanding shall take place which would, one, impair the natural function of the dune, physically alter the contour of the dune, or destroy vegetative growing thereon, unless the Wetlands Board or the Commission, in this case, whichever is applicable, determines that there will be no significant adverse ecological impact and that the granting of the permit is clearly necessary and consistent with the public interest and considered, you know, all the materials, all the material factors. It's clear that Mr. Argyria, his property is experiencing a high rate of erosion, and that his home and drain field are at risk. Staff cannot, however, support a bulkhead in this high-energy environment. The proposed bulkhead would affect waves and sand move along the shoreline and could cause increased erosion on the adjacent properties. Staff could support a properly designed stone revetment that would be located largely landward of the beach features. The stone revetment should have little impact on the town shoreline management plan if funding is ever available. Therefore, after evaluating the merits of the project and keeping with our guidelines in 28.2.1401B of the code, staff recommends that the project be denied. Staff would recommend approval of a modified proposal that entails a properly designed stone revetment located landward of the beach features as recommended by FIMS, and of course a provide plan view and cross-sectional drawings that depict the revetment located landward of the beach features will be required.
Thank you, Mr. Badger. Questions from Commission from Mr. Badger?
Yes.
Mr. Fox.
Do you have any idea what the relative cost would be of the proposed bulkhead versus the riprap revetment?
I really don't. I would suspect that the block is cheaper. I have a feeling he was going to do it by himself. But riprap, it's not that expensive in comparison anymore. But you probably got somebody that
would help place it, yes.
Further questions? Council?
I just want to, for the record, Hank, you said and in place we should have said or, and I just want to make that clear for the record. This has to do with Code Section 28.2-1408, in which you list the standards to not impair the natural functions of the dune, physically alter the contour of the dune or destroy vegetation, unless the commission determines that there will be no significant adverse ecological impact or that the granting of a permit is clearly necessary and consistent with the public interest considering all material factors. You mentioned, you said and.
Excuse me.
Mr. Robbins,
thank you, Mr. Chairman. I can't actually have a question, follow-up question for Vims, since they did develop the shoreline strategy, if possible. And I just wanted to see if we could get a comment on the differences of impacts between a vertical surface such as that that's proposed versus a riprap revetment in terms of its impact on marine habitat and so forth.
Certainly. Well, this is a unique situation.
Well, we just heard your name for
the record. Virginia Institute of Marine Science.
And you have been sworn.
Yes, thank you. This is one of those stretches of the bay that didn't get the memo that it's supposed to be one thing or the other. You have peat and sand in this one place. And when we did this shoreline plan for this back. There were many places we looked to see how amenable it would be to riprap. There's some very deep peat in some places, which makes it very difficult to put a large riprap structure. What you're talking about here, I don't think that may be a problem. At least that's what some engineering, better engineering minds have said about that. As for vertical versus riprap, you will have continued erosion in this area. It's very, the peat is pretty sturdy, but you will continue to have erosion in this area, and eventually the vertical wall will exacerbate that. And also affect the local, the both adjacent areas. Now, there are some hardened headlands on both sides of that, which will mitigate some of that. But it's generally a vertical wall in these areas. You have to look to the future when eventually it will get to the structure if it's placed in, you know, back behind where it's recommended by your staff to do that. So. From an energy dissipation perspective in this area, even though it's a small lot, you do have a very bad situation just to the north of that, and we would recommend a riprap wedge on this versus a vertical wall. Thank you.
Further questions? Thank you. Frank? In the construction phase of this residence, who would have authorized the placement of this structure? And file.
Town of Aconite.
Town of
Aconite.
Town or county?
I'm sorry. County of Aconite. I don't believe Texas Island does not have their own zoning that I'm aware of. And I guess originally, when it was built, which was 5 years ago, thereabouts, it may have been 100 feet landward of. High watermark, which would have made it as close as possible.
Okay, thank you. Is the applicant present or represented?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir. Could you come forward, please? Good morning.
Good morning.
Raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self you got.
I do.
You state your name, please.
Robert Frigerio.
Okay. I'd like to address the commission?
Well, we purchased the house in 2005, and yes, the house was, in fact, set over 100 feet. I know that from the property owner before me, who did say that the county required that as a back set. The house, there was a house standing in the exact location before it was taken down, and this house was placed in its place. So it's.
Did you take the house down and reconstruct some house?
The prior owner did. He had bought the land in 2000, and then he went ahead and had the fire department burn it down as practice in the town. And then he had pilings put in and a house placed on top. It only took us a year to find out that we were losing a lot of land on our shoreline, and we've owned the property now since 2005. So that's the 3 years of going on four, and I know for a fact that we have lost at least 30 foot of shoreline by 165. I have current pictures, some pictures in 2000 and kind of progressed up to where we are today. But I do know, and I'm sure we're all in agreement, something needs to be done. The gentleman asked the cost. I went with the block because I thought it would be a fairly good way to go, a cheap way to go, a cheaper out way to go. It was pretty low budget, so we devised this plan thinking it would be fairly easy to implement and be able to stop at least the land, my land. I am not a marine specialist or a land specialist, so I'm not actually sure what I need to do, but if the riprap is in effect needed, I don't know what the cost would be. I wanted to keep the beach as natural looking as possible. And what I have to the left of me is not what I would call natural. That's why
I think what you've got in front of you is brilliant because it's dynamic. It may be natural, but it's certainly dynamic.
Yeah, it is beautiful. So I tried to keep that in perspective to put what I wanted to put there to stop the erosion on the property and be able to still look out and see a beach. This badger kind of wants to back it up even further. I mean, I already have 100 foot in water. Low mean water is 100 feet out there that, from what I understand, will never be recoverable. So now it's another 25 feet. I'm willing to kind of think about some wall and some riprap, if we could curve it out into a point where it would deflect the water out and back into the shore at the very end. I'm not sure what's going to happen, but I don't have a design or any specifications, so we can't put a cost on what the riprap would cost. And certainly I didn't want to have to walk over riprap to get to the beach. That's, you know, we have a nice 165-foot beach that we like to use, swim, and have kids and stuff, so it would kind of deter that from happening unless we tried to place something else over that to get to the beach.
Okay.
But definitely needs to be, something needs to be done, because it's flowing 20 feet past the property line and it's dumping back into the creek, and now it's filled the creek up to a point where it's restricting flow in and out. And the pipes that carry the water out to the creek are now rotted and just broken apart, and they're all over the place. As far as the sediment spot that you have to the right, I took some pictures, and it really has taken an impact in the past 3 months.
Yeah.
It'd be even further than I have. So
I think you got a dire situation on your hands, there's no doubt about that.
Yep.
Any questions from the commission? Is anyone here in opposition? In this situation, well, let me ask you this question, if I could.
Sure.
He indicated that he didn't have any specific program or direction guidance as to how to go. I know that Ben's in the past has suggested certain ways to remediate or to mitigate these type of things. Is this a situation where you would need to get a private contractor? Does Vince provide advice? I know you provided some advice in the body of the evaluation that we have as to what you think is the best. Is there any opportunity for further assistance or individual assistance, or would he be in a situation where we have to go to a private contractor or a marine contractor? Not that puts on the spot, just wondering.
If you recall, you asked us to do that for Mr. McGann, so there, he had a somewhat similar situation, actually. And I think that's actually happened, but I'm not certain of how much advice you've already received from Vims. Were you at the site visit?
No, I was not.
No?
I didn't realize they were going to be there. So.
Scott Hardaway had looked at this, too, also, and there's... You know, there are some alternatives to what you have here. I mean, you have two hardened headlands north and south, small ones, but you have a very, very shallow sandclad that's very extensive in front of this, so the wave action is not that extensive until it gets very high. The area could hold some sand placed in there. You know, we don't, like Ms. Durian said, we don't recommend the breakwater right there.
Right.
It wouldn't work. It would be exorbitantly expensive to try to make it to work, but there may be some things you could do to have, you know, a structure and then have some sand fill, which I know is not part of this application right now. It would be a temporary fill, a nourishment, essentially, to build up the beach in front of that. There is maintenance to that in this situation, unfortunately. But, yes, we have people at Vims that could advise a little further on this if that be the case.
The way I look at it is staff has recommended against it, and I know I'm not spending my money, it's your money.
Yes,
but at the same time, we have to be protectors of the environment, the resource, and the way that I perceive this project is it's quickly becoming a liability or potential liability to the Commonwealth of Virginia and its citizens. If it's not prepared, it could potentially cause some significant environmental concerns to the ecosystem around there. And I'll leave it to the commission, but my suggestion would be that you really use the professionals. They don't come before the commission to recommend certain things just to pump up the money. They do it because, as you heard in the presentation, we have some concerns to the adjoining property owner. We don't want to make improvements that might shore up your castle to the detriment of causing a moat to the next door neighbor.
Yes.
That's the kind of the analogy that I use. So I think
that staff and BIMS are right on the money with this one, and I think maybe working interactively with them, government can be your friend and assist in this and come to some type of logical conclusion. But that's the way I see the project. But absolutely, and there's no opposition. I would say that the matter's before the commission. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think several issues in play here. One, certainly based on the erosion that's been evidence of the property, the property owner has a right to protect their property through some sort of shoreline hardening strategy. But at issue really the type of structure that goes in and its alignment. And it seems to me that staff and DEMS have both made a good recommendation that in fact it ought to be a riprap structure rather than a vertical block or concrete wall. And second, I think the alignment is an important issue. I don't think it's necessary to reclaim and backfill the beach in order to protect the structure. So again, I think staff and DEMS have a good recommendation there. But it seems to me that it might be appropriate to approve the project with a riprap revetment provided that or subject to receipt of acceptable drawings, Plan B drawings from to staff.
Sir, second the motion?
Comment
to the motion? Yes, sir, Mr. Parks.
I'm just hoping that since we have a serious situation here, that whatever we decide can be acted on promptly and not have to come back and line up to get before us again.
Mr. O'Gary, you're ready to get working on this one way or the other, aren't you?
I'm trying to do that, yes, sir. Again, funding is an issue. So I need to find out exactly what we're talking about and cost.
Okay.
I have a contractor that can do the work, but again, we need to, because
we're asking you to commit to something that you have
it's not indigenous to the land. I mean, I'll have to go out of state for that riprap to come in, so that's going to be costly. The concrete blocks were pretty readily available that could be made in state, and that's why I went with that and fairly costly.
Okay. Mr. Robbins.
Mr. Chairman, I would offer a motion that approves the project with a riprap revetment aligned landward of the beach features as recommended by staff, subject to Plan B drawings acceptable by staff.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Second by Mr. Tankard. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Good luck, Mr. Ruggiero, the project. Thank you. The next